Nanayanam namaskritya nanam jiva niroptamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamudirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, chapter entitled The Descent of the Ganges, text number 13. So Sanskrit is just in prose, so I'll just read it.
Yatraha deva pataya swair swair guna nayakai vihita mahahana sabatu kusuma stavaka phala kishalaya shriya namya mana vitapa bata vita pibir upashumba mana uchira kanana shrama yatana varsha Giri droni shu tata chamala jalasha yeshu vikacha vivada nava vanaru ha moda mudita raja hamsa jala kukuta karandava sarasa chakrava kadibir madukara vikara kritibir Upakuji teshu jala kridadibir vichitra vinodai sulla lita sura sundarinam kama kalila vilasahasa lila valoka krishta mano drishtiya swairam viharanti.
Okay. Please repeat yourselves. All together. Okay. Okay, word for word is very big, so we'll read through.
Yatraha.
In those eight tracts of land.
Deva Pateya.
The lords of the demigods. Such as Lord Indra. Sway, sway, by their own respective.
Gananayakai,
leaders of the servants.
Vihita,
furnished with.
Mahahana,
valuable gifts, such as sandalwood pulp and garlands.
Savaritu,
in all seasons.
Kusuma stabaka,
by bunches of flowers.
Phala,
of fruits.
Kisalaya shriya,
by the opulences of shoots.
Anamyamana,
being bent down.
Vitapa,
whose branches.
Lata,
and creepers.
Vita pibi,
by many trees.
Upasumba mana,
being fully decorated.
Ruchira,
beautiful.
Akanana,
gardens.
Ashrama ayatana,
and many hermitages.
Vashagiri
dronishu, the valleys between the mountain, designating the borders of the tracts of land.
Tata,
as well as.
Cha,
also.
Amala jala ashayeshu,
in lakes with clear water.
Vikacha,
just fructified.
Vivida,
varieties.
Navavana ruha amoda,
by the fragrance of lotus flowers.
Mudita,
enthused. Rajahamsa, great swans. Jala Kukuta, water flower. Karandava, aquatic birds called. Karandavas. Sarasa, cranes. Chakravaka Adibi, of birds known as Chakravakas, and so on. Madhukara Nikara Akritibi, by the bumblebees. Upakunjiteshu, which were made to resound. Jalakrida Adibi, such as water sports. Vichitra, various. Vinodai, by pastimes. Sulalita, attractive. Surasundarinam, of the women of the demigods. Karma, lust. Kalila, born. Vilasa, pastimes. Hasa, smiling. Lila Avaloka, by playful glances. Akrishtamana, whose minds are attracted. Drishtiya, and whose vision is attracted. Swaram, very freely. Viharanti, engaged in sportive enjoyment. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just need to drink some water. In each of those tracts of land, there were many gardens filled with flowers and fruits according to the season, and there were beautifully decorated hermitages as well. Between the great mountains, demarcating the borders of those lands, lie enormous lakes of clear water filled with newly grown lotus flowers. Aquatic birds such as swans, ducks, water chickens, and cranes become greatly excited by the fragrance of lotus flowers. And the charming sound of bumblebees fills the air. The inhabitants of those lands are important leaders among the demigods, always attended by their respective servants. They enjoy life in gardens alongside the lakes. In this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desires. All the demigods and their wives are constantly supplied with sandalwood pulp and flower garlands of their servants. In this way, all the residents of the eight heavenly varishes enjoy, attracted by the activities of the opposite sex. Here is the description of the lower planet, heavenly planets. The inhabitants of those planets enjoy life in a pleasing atmosphere of clear lakes, filled with newly grown lotus flowers, and gardens filled with fruits, flowers, various kinds of birds and humming bees. In that atmosphere, they enjoy life with their very beautiful wives, who are always sexually stimulated. Nonetheless, they are all devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as well as will be explained in subsequent verses. The inhabitants of this earth are also desire such heavenly enjoyment. But when they somehow or other achieve imitation pleasures like sex and intoxication, they completely forget the service of the Supreme Lord. In the heavenly planets, however, the residents enjoy superior sense gratification. They never forget their position as eternal servants of the Supreme Being. Are there any tissues?
No.
Just bring something. Omagyan Tibadandasya Genanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubi Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. So, Prabhupada says, this is a description of the lower heavenly planets. So heavenly planets have various divisions. The universe has 14 planetary systems. And so the Earth is in the center. We're called as Bhur, Bhuva, Swa. So it's like Bhuva, which means the earthly region. So Earth is there, in the middle. And then above us there are higher planetary systems, and below us there are lower planetary systems. So in total there are 14. So, what are the two most important planets in this universe? Earth and Satyaloka. Satyaloka, yeah, Brahmaloka. Yeah, those two planets. So, Lord Brahma's planet, which is the very top. It's so high, actually. If you look at the cosmology of the universe, if you actually see some graphics, it's like, you know, all the other, there's all the different 14 planetary systems, but Lord Brahma, it's like, if it's like that, many of them are close by, but Brahma's like right up. Very subtle existence, very subtle. Lord Brahma's body is made of intelligence. So what is our body made of?
Ignorance.
Hmm?
Ignorance.
What?
Ignorance.
No, it's not made of ignorance. I mean, yeah, you can say that, but what's our body made of? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Right? Earth is solid. Right, that's earth. Water, a lot of liquid in there. Right, 78% liquid. Fire, you can see my hands are red, so there's fire in there. Right? Air, right? Air is what moves everything around the body. Food goes down. Burp, like that. Like everything moves by air. Come on, that. And ether. Ether means space. Ether is a very subtle element. Very subtle. But it's there, it's it. That's ether. You can't see it, but it's sound bounces off it. So it's another element. It's not air, it's another element. So subtle, you can't see it. But then even more subtle is mind. You can't see mind, right? You can hear mind all day long, right? Mind is the person that gives you problem all day long. It just sits there on your shoulder. Get married, don't get married, 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 get married. That's, you know, that's your mind all day long. It tells you, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. You're eating too much, don't eat so much. Yeah. Am I going to fast on ecology? I'm not going to fast on ecology. You're going to fast on ecology, you're not going to fast. That's the mind, all day, just like giving you. So mind, but even more subtle, is intelligence. Right? Intelligence means, the mind says, okay, I'm going to eat the whole chocolate cake. Right? And the intelligence says, no, don't eat the whole thing. Right? Because that will be not good for your chanting tomorrow. So intelligence is slightly higher. So in Brahmaloka, Lord Brahma's body, and everyone who lives there, their body is just made of intelligence. Very subtle. So if we went there, we wouldn't necessarily be able to see them. Yeah, we might be able to see them if they allow us. Yeah? But they're very, very subtle beings. So this is like the highest portion of the universe. So above earth, where we are, the next place is what we call Swarga. Swarga is where all the devatas live. Right? So you have Indra, Vayu, Agni, all the demigods, they have their planets. That's like it's a realm just above the earth. So in Swargaloka, as it says here, this is a description of lower heavenly planets. So Swarga is not like the in terms of the planetary systems, there are things above Swarga which are more refined. Right? You have Janaloka, Tapaloka, Mahaloka, which are above. And mostly the people who live there are ascetics. The demarcation, like in Varnashram, if you look at the Varnashram system, we have Brahmachari, we have Grihastha, we have Vanaprastha, we have Sannyasi. Now, what is the difference between three of the ashrams and one of the ashrams? Right, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha and Sannyas, there is no sex life. Right? Grihastha, there is license for sex life. That's the difference. Right? One, if you want to have sex, okay, license is given, go. You have a license. Right? But in the others, there is no sex life. That is the demarcation. Now, when you get to the Swargaloka, as it says here, people are enjoying sex life. Right? And there's no reaction. Down here, if you have illicit sex, there is karma. Up there in Swarga, in the heavenly planets, that is not there. There is no karma. It is like you're just burning off good karma in the heavenly planets. But there's no, you don't accrue negative karma so much. It's not like here on earth. Everything you do, if you do something bad, you get bad karma. If you do something good, you get good karma. But the up there, it is more subtle. Right? So they do not get reactions. But above Swarga, then there is Jana, Tapa, Mahalokas. The people up there are ascetics. In other words, they've renounced sex life. So the demigods have not renounced sex life. But they are great devotees. Now, we should understand that point. Prabhupada points it out here. They are all devotees. They don't forget Krishna. They all wear tilak. They're devotees. They dress like devotees. They behave like devotees. But they're allowed to also have sense gratification. So it's like a distracting place to be. It's like living in Hawaii. Yeah. One time Prabhupada said there was no happiness in this material world. Yeah. But then Prabhupada said maybe in Hawaii. Yeah. Maybe Hawaii this summer. Yeah. Some pleasure is there. So like heavenly planet, it's like Hawaii, but like 10,000 times amplified. Like the weather is perfect all the time in Swarga, like just perfect weather all the time. And then the food is the most satisfying food that you can eat. All the fruits are fully ripe, like fully ripe. Like here, you have a pineapple, you don't know if it's going to be good or not. It's like, you have a watermelon, you don't know if it's going to be good, but up there, everything's just like perfect all the time. Right? Everything, the water temperature, everything. Flowers, everything is just lush and beautiful all the time. So that is Swarga. So it's very distracting. And it says here, there are beautiful girls walking around everywhere. So it's very hard to practice brahmacharya. Not easy place to practice brahmacharya. That's why the brahmacharis don't live there. They all live on the higher planets. They go to Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka. They don't stay down there in Swarga. It's not conducive. The only people who can go there is like Narada and people like that. Narada can walk through. He's so exalted. It doesn't disturb him. He'll just go there. He'll just teach everyone and then he'll leave. But the others, they'll become distracted. So it's a very beautiful place. And everyone there is a devotee. Even though they're enjoying sense gratification, but they're always absorbed in their service. They run the universe on behalf of Krishna. It's a big responsibility. It says here, the demigods and their assistants. How many demigods are there in Swarga? 33 million. Right? But that's the principal demigods. And every demigod has 100 assistants. So there's 330 million people living in Swarga. Right? So it's not that big, actually. The population's not big. I mean, 330 million, what's that? That's America, isn't it? America's, I think, 330 or something.
No, America's 300.
300?
Yeah.
Oh, Krishna. I made a mistake, so. it's around about the size of America. Right, the population of America, that's Swaga. Right, there's not that many up there. Right, 33 million principal demigods. Each one has 100 assistants who work with them. Right, but they have very important positions because they have to run the universe. Right, all the rain. Right, when the rain will come, when it will not come, all these things. When the winds will come, when the winds will not come. Right, the waters, like how the ocean will act and behave. The earth itself, everything is regulated by that. It's a big service. So that's why Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Nectar of Devotion, it actually says you should not disrespect the demigods. It's an aparada. Right? Interesting. An aparada in bhakti to disrespect the demigods. Sometimes devotees give classes. Oh, Indra did this. Oh, Brahma did that. Now, you can't judge Indra and Brahma. Who are you? You did the same thing. Right? At least in your mind you did it. So you're not more exalted. So these are exalted personalities. They're very huge responsibility to be a devata, to be a demigod. That's why in the Bhagavatam it says, don't become a mother, don't become a father, don't become a demigod unless you can deliver the dependents from birth and death. It's a big responsibility. So that is where the demigods are. So in this universe, two planets are the most important, right? Earth and Brahma Loka. Right? If you get to Brahma Loka, which is not easy to get to, in the Brahma Samhita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in his commentary, if you want to get to Brahma Loka, how do you get there? How do you get to Brahma Loka?
Tapasya,
very good. Yeah. You can't just go and make friends with Elon Musk and then, Elon Musk is trying to get, he said, the other day he said, by 2025, we will get humans to Mars. It's only 3 years. In 3 years, people will be walking around on Mars. That's what Elon says. So we will see. We will see. But that's not going to get you to Brahma Loka. Brahma Loka is a long, long way. If they use the Elon Musk rocket, SpaceX, it'll take a long time to get there. It would take, I don't know, years probably to fly all the way up to that height. So if you want to get there, it says, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you have to practice Varnashrama perfectly for 100 lifetimes. So imagine that. 100 lifetimes of perfect mana. You make any mistakes, you have to go back and start again. It's hard to even become a perfect brahmachari in this life. Right? Or a perfect grihastha in this life. Hands up if you're a perfect brahmachari. Hands up if you're a perfect grihastha. Or a vanaprastha. Or a sannyasi. It's not easy. You have to be perfect for 100 lifetimes. And if you do that, you can go to Brahma Loka. And live with Lord Brahma. And then if you get to Brahma Loka, if Lord Brahma is a devotee, because Lord Brahma is not always a devotee, right? Sometimes Lord Brahma is a Mayavadi. Imagine, you get all the way there, 100 lifetimes, you get there and he's a Mayavadi. Right? And then you sit down and he gives Bhagavatam class, and he says, it is all one. It is all one. Everything is one. And he says, what's Lord Brahma saying? Sometimes he's a Mayavadi. Sometimes it says when there is no jiva who is qualified to become Lord Brahma, Vishnu becomes Brahma. So that would be good. You get all the way there and then the Lord himself is Brahma. Right? So it says if he is a devotee, because he's not always though, but if he's a devotee and you get there by his association at the end of your life when the universe finishes, which is a big time period, you will go back to Godhead. So there's only two planets in the universe you can go back to Godhead from. Earth and Brahma Loka. So if you meditate on that, because do you know how many planets there are in this universe? Right? Thousands. Right? There's thousands. There's so many planets. The chances that you are sitting here right now on Earth in a Hare Krishna temple 500 years since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and you're practicing devotional service, do you know like what the odds are that that would happen? Right? One devotee, I heard him give a class, he said, it's like being a turtle in the ocean, and you put your head up out of the water, and there's a piece of wood which has a hole in it, and your head goes through that hole. That's not easy. The chances that we're even sitting here right now, after out of millions of living entities in this universe, on the planet where you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan, right? And this is your opportunity, and then devotees waste the opportunity. Oh, I don't like that devotee there. I'm not going to come to the temple anymore. I don't like them. Oh, they said I was puffed up. I don't like them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Don't talk to me. Now, we get distracted by so many ridiculous things. This opportunity is, you have to understand the opportunity. You have to understand the opportunity. You actually have to realize it. It has to go from jnana to vijnana. Vijnana means you have to realize this opportunity. Right? How essential this opportunity is. It cannot be wasted under any circumstances. Now, when you realize that, then you will go back to Krishna. Because Maya will test you in so many ways to try to throw you off the path. Right. Why is it there are not so many devotees? Like, if you see in the Melbourne community, right? How many devotees have been practicing bhakti for 50 years? Right, 40 years? Right, 30 years? Right, it's rare. We don't have, like, so. Why is it the devotees do not stick? Right, for long, long, long periods of time. You know, my realization after practicing for a number of years, the main thing that keeps you to be a devotee for many, 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 many years, decades and decades and decades, you know what the secret is? Hands up if you want to know. Okay. All right, then come back next week and we will tell you what the secret is. I can't give you everything at once. This is Rahasya. No. Yeah, actually, I'll give you the secret, but I will bribe you. You have to bring me sweets. You bring me gulab jamuns, and then I will give you the secret. Is it okay? It's okay? Yeah, these are good kids. These kids. I said, no problem. I will. The problem is they cannot cook gulab jamuns as yet. So. No, the secret is, it's Prabhupada's books. That is the secret. If you want to be a devotee for many, 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 many years. Not just a devotee, but a serious devotee. Not just a devotee, but a devotee who was enthusiastic about bhakti. Because, you know, it's easy to be enthusiastic for 6 months. That's easy. Anyone can be enthusiastic. Oh, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. Itai go to Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. Anyone can do that. Let's see, 6 months, anyone can do it. You know, we see devotees come, go, come, go, come, go. That's so many to be. But if you're going to do that for 50 years, after 50 years, you're enthusiastic. You love kirtan. You love Mangalati. You love seeing the deities. You love chanting the holy name. You love Kichuri. You love all these things. You know, you have to get that taste, that ruchi. Right? That comes from Prabhupada's books. It can come from just chanting the holy name. Prabhupada says that actually. If you read the Adi Lila, very beginning of the Adi Lila, like first chapter, you know, things very early. Prabhupada says, you can go back to Godhead without initiation. Right? You don't even have to get initiated. You can just pick up the beads and just, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Tears coming from your eyes. You can go back to Goloka. Right? A holy name can take, but most of us are not on that platform. I'm not on that platform. I can't just chant, go back. I need my guru. I need my gurus. Right? I need an association of bhaktas, devotees. I need Mahaprasada. Right? I need the deities. Right? And I need Prabhupada's books. Right? So particularly, if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to study Prabhupada's books. Right? Regularly. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Right? That's why we say to devotees, every day you read something. You know, 10 minutes, 20, you can read something every day. Right? Or if you can't read every day, you have to be hearing Shravana. Right? You have to be hearing devotees speak about Prabhupada's books. Okay, maybe today you don't have time to read the Bhagavatam because you have family and you have to go to work and, you know, it's true, some devotees hard to read every day. But you can always listen every day. Right? When you're in the shower, when you're driving your car, when you're on the tram, different times, you can listen. When I was a brahmachari, right, I would listen every day between 2 and 4 hours a day to lectures, every day. 2 hours to 4 hours, like that gap, every, because there was time there. You know, when I'm getting ready in the morning, you know, before Mangalati, I used to listen maybe 40 minutes. You know, getting ready, everything, just listening. Right? And then, you know, when you're doing, there's so many opportunities. Right? So you have to hear. That's how you stay enthusiastic. After 50 years, you'll be enthusiastic if you're reading the books. Because the books will enliven you. This is nectar, all of this. Right? Even Prabhupada read his books. One devotee said to Prabhupada, why are you reading your books? He said, they're not my books. He said, Krishna is dictating. One time Prabhupada was being interviewed. And they said about your book. He said, Prabhupada said, they're not my books. Krishna dictates. And then I think Priyadananda Maharaj and one of the other devotees is there. He said, what Prabhupada means is that Krishna inspires him within the heart. Prabhupada said, no, I did not say that. He said, Krishna dictates. Krishna sits next to me and he dictates. So even Prabhupada would read his books. So if Prabhupada is reading his books, then what is our problem? We should be reading Prabhupada's books. Now one time, my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, is with Prabhupada, 1977. Prabhupada was very emaciated. You know, between February to November, Prabhupada was very weak. You know, his body was, you know, he was leaving. So he required a lot of service, right? A lot of, to look after Prabhupada. It was like full-time service. So what is this pastime? This is Superman pastime. So required a lot of service. So my Guru Maharaj, he was sleeping 6 hours maximum every day. Getting up, chanting rounds, taking bath, rest of the time, just eating a little bit, serving Prabhupada, whole day, like busy. So at one point, Prabhupada said to him, he said, are you reading my books? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj just looked at Prabhupada, like with a look of, Prabhupada, there's no time. And Prabhupada said, you have to reduce eating and sleeping. And he looked at Prabhupada, like I'm already, and Prabhupada said, it requires practice. But Prabhupada himself practiced over years. You know, he reduced, and then got back to 2 hours. You know, I can't imagine ever doing that. You know, getting to 2 hours. Like, I can do it for one day, 2 hours sleep, but after that, then it doesn't work. You know, but Prabhupada was able to reduce, get back to that point where he could then fully absorb himself. So we have an opportunity here on earth right now. This is the best time, the best place, everything. Nothing could be more auspicious. And the devotees in the ISKCON Malba Mahaprabhu Mandir are the most fortunate souls in the universe. In the universe. If you're sitting right here right now, you're the most fortunate soul in the universe. Right? We're on Earth. That's not easy already. We got to Earth. We didn't just get to Earth. We got to a Hare Krishna temple. Which Hare Krishna temple? in the most livable city in the world. Like, life is pretty good here. Look at life. You know, we don't have a lot of problems here. Right? It's very, you know, actually, we're not the most livable city anymore. We've gone down to about number 5 or something like that. But well, that's actually very painful for me that we're not the most livable anymore. But anyway, number 5. So we're a very livable city. Right? We're in Kali Yuga. Right? Out of the different yugas, which yuga is the best? Satya, Treta, Dwapara. 3 sages once went to Vyasadeva at Bhadarika Ashram. And Vyasadeva was taking bath. He went underwater and he's coming up. You know, you see the sadhus, they go underwater, they come up. So 3 sadhus were there, they were arguing. Which yuga is the best? One was saying Satya, one was saying Treta, one was saying Dwapara. So Vyasadeva went underwater, he came up. He said, Kali. They said, which is best? He said, Kali. Kali is the best. No. Jiva Goswami says, why is Kali Yuga the best? Because the Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. And in Kali Yuga, right, the first canto of the Bhagavatam says, everyone, we're short-lived, unlucky, unfortunate, all that, it gives all these bad qualities. And it says, above all, we are always disturbed. Kali Yuga ki? Now you should be happy. Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the best. Everyone's always disturbed. You don't even have to go anywhere to be disturbed. Normally you get disturbed when you have a negative interaction. But people are so disturbed in Kali Yuga, they don't have to see anyone or do anything and their minds are already disturbed. You see, Kali Yuga people are just disturbed. Like I only go into the CBD, into Swanson Street, maybe 2 times a year. And last time I was there, I think it was February or something like that, I was in there. And I won't even tell you what I saw. I saw, I can't even say it. Like, people are so disturbed. Right? People are so, and like, it strikes me because I don't go there very much. And now I live in Sapagun, in the farm, with the cows. And when I come here, like here the temple's different, but when you go in the middle of the city, the atmosphere is much more tamasic than 10 years ago, 5 years ago, much more. People are disturbed. So why is Kali Yuga good? Because when you're disturbed, when your mind is disturbed, you chant more seriously. Right? It's a fact. Hands up if you agree. Okay, half of you agree. Yeah. The other half, it just means you haven't had enough disturbance yet. It's actually true. Burujan Prabhu was preaching to me when I was about 24 years old. I was only 24, you know, many, many years ago. He's preaching to me. And he said, you know, when Krishna really tests you, he takes everything away. And I was just looking at him smiling like, you know. And I had no idea what he's talking about. You know, and he looked at me and he said, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? And I said, no, because my life was good. Everything was good. And I was 24 as a devotee, brahmachari, everything was good. But then I got married and then Krishna took everything away. He made me suffer. Because this is the nature of the material energy. It will make you suffer. You just wait around. It will make everyone sitting here, you will suffer. Brahmacharis will suffer less because they're brahmacharis, so it's advantageous. But you will suffer. Everyone will suffer. Actually, I was sitting in a class the last time my Guru Maharaj came to Australia. He was giving class in Sydney, and Indradumna Swami was sitting there listening to the class. And at the end of the class, Indradumna Swami Maharaj said, any questions? Indradumna Swami put his hand up. He said, is it possible to go back to Godhead without great suffering? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, no, not possible. So everyone will get it. It will come different times, that's all. So enjoy yourselves. So, Kali Yuga means your mind will become disturbed. But when your mind becomes disturbed, then you'll chant the holy name more seriously. This will be your test, actually. This will be the test. Right? What do you say? When the suffering comes, what do you say? Do you say, Krishna, Krishna, save me? Right? Is that, if that's what you say? Because sometimes we don't say that. You know, I've been in cars when the car, you know, goes off the road a little bit or looks like, you know, maybe. And what people say is not always Krishna. You know, sometimes they say different things. But if we're sincere, we will say Krishna. So Kali Yuga is the best because, and Earth is the best, because if we chant the holy name of Krishna at the time of death, you will go back to Godhead. If you chant it consciously. And not like Ajamil. Right? Ajamil, when he chanted, he had to take one more birth in Hardwa. Because right? The chanting was not the right mood. Right? But then the second time, in the next birth, he chanted properly. Then at that life, it says he went back to Krishna. Yeah? So you have to chant nicely. I mean, sincerely, Krishna. You know, actually conscious of Krishna, then you will go back to Godhead. So that is how powerful this Kali Yuga is. So this is the best time, the best place, the best age. Nothing is better. The only thing better than or equal to this is Brahma Loka. It's the only thing equal. That takes so long to get there. Somehow you got here, take advantage of it. Right? Otherwise your next life you don't know where you will end up. Right? Your next life you might take birth on Swagaloka, like it says here. It's very distracting. No? Even when Jayananda Prabhu passed away. You know Jayananda Prabhu? Right? Famous devotee in ISKCON. You know Jayananda Prabhu? He passed away the day before in the Sringadev. Right? Yeah. He was the one who made the first Rath Yatra cards. When he passed away, the first letter that Prabhupada wrote, he said, you know, my dear disciple, you have passed away. Prabhupada said, if there are any material desires in your heart, you will go to Swaga. But he said then, if there are no material desires, or the material desires are very less, you will go back to Krishna. Right? So it's possible. We could go to Swagaloka. Right? If you're not serious enough as a devotee, right, then you know, you're a good devotee, but you're not fully serious, then you can go to Swagaloka. Which is not bad, because there's many devotees there, and it's Krishna conscious, but it's also quite distracting. So you don't want to go to Swagaloka. You want to go all the way back to Krishna. But you have to become very serious. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Read Prabhupada's books. Only take Mahaprasad. Transcend material energy. Once and for all. Prabhupada said, you can go back to Godhead. You can become fully Krishna conscious just by dancing and chanting in front of the deities of Gaunatar. That's all you have to do in Kali Yuga. Just dance and chant sincerely in front of Gaunatar, you go back to Godhead. That's it. Even if you're not initiated anything. Well, that's how powerful this process is. I'll stop here. Any questions or comments in this universe? Hare Krishna. You have a question?
Did they give out a funny class?
We have a microphone. It was a funny class, was it?
Yes.
Thank you for the funny class. I don't know what sort of funny, but it is.
My question is that you said that we need to follow Vanashram Dharma properly for under the test to become Brahma. But then, like, if we don't become, like, do we still have to follow your, like, Vanashram Dharma, even if you're in the animal life after, like, a human life?
Animals don't follow Vanashram. Start again from zero? What do you mean?
Like, if we, like, have a human life, and then we follow Varnashram like that, and then after the next life, we become an animal or something.
No, no. If you're a human, and you're following Varnashram nicely, you won't become an animal. You only become an animal if you're if you commit sinful activity. Like, if you just sleep all the time. Just sleeping, sleeping, sleeping. Sleeping, sleeping, sleeping. Only sleeping, sleeping, sleeping. Just sleeping. Bus. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Then you become a bear. Right? So however you act, then that's what you become. So if you follow Vanashram, you won't become an animal. You don't have to worry about these things. You just chant Hare Krishna and go back to Krishna. Okay? Don't worry about animal life.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. Okay. Mataji, you can...
Thank you, Prabhupada, for the class. My question is that you said if we suffer a lot, then we go to Lord Krishna. But we see in the case of Jagaya and Madaya, they did, like, they most of the time they were happy doing the thing, and they went to Lord Krishna without any suggestions. So how do we understand this?
It's because they were young when they surrendered, that's all. They were in their 20s or something like that. They were youngish people. They were making a lot of mistakes, but they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. But suffering means, you know, as you get old, you suffer because the body breaks down. And old age and then disease, you know, everyone gets sick at different times in their life. And things don't always work out. Everyone has different karmas. So everyone will suffer. Everyone will suffer. Even Jagai Mother, you know, as they got older, then their bodies would have become difficult. So everyone suffers in due course of time. You don't have to worry because you're just little. Yeah, you just chant and do service. Okay? That's good. Someone else.
So you said initiation is not compulsory, Prabhupada says. And then Bhagavad Goswami says in the beginning of Nature of Devotion, without initiation from the spiritual master, the connection to Krishna is not made. So is it in
No, Prabhupada didn't say it's not necessary. He said it's possible to go back to Godhead without initiation. But we already clarified that. Right? It's possible to go back. That means you have to be a pure chanter. It means you have to chant Shuddha Nam. We're not chanting Shuddha Nam, we're chanting Nama Bharata Nama Bas. By Shuddha Nam you go back to Godhead. But Prabhupada says it's possible. But yeah, there's no one in this room who can do it. So yeah, everyone gets initiated. Hands up if you're chanting Shuddha Nam. If you chant Shuddha Nam, don't worry. But there's no one in this room who's on that level. So. No problem. You had a question?
Hi Krishna Prabhu. Prabhu, I wanted to ask you that there's a one more aspect, like we have to be servants of the servant, like be serving the devotees.
Why not?
Respect on that.
Why not?
Because that's also a process to go back to Godhead.
What is your question?
Like, how can we be the servants of the servant? Like, how can we serve the devotees? What should be the mood?
You be a servant of the servant. When class finishes, walk up to one of the devotees and say, can I do you any service for you? And that's it. Then you're a servant of the servant. They're servants. You become their servant. Then you're a servant of the servant. Simple. Huh? I say, is there any service I can... I'll say it now. Is there any service I can do for any of you? You let me know. If there's anything I can do. As servant of the servant. I can't say any service I can do. Now when class finishes, everyone will come and they'll say, oh, I want this, I want that, oh my God. Right. But you have to be prepared for it. You know, one time devotee said to me, he said, you know, Prabhu, can I do something? And I thought, oh yeah, can you do this? And he said, oh, actually, I can't. So what's the point? If you're going to say to devotee, you know, can I do service for you, then you make sure you do the service. Okay? You had a question or?
Yes.
Yeah, later I'll
think. Prabhu, my question is that when we really suffer also, we think about Krishna very intensely, but when we are really blissful also, we think about Krishna. How are these blissful also, we think about Krishna, we thank Krishna?
What's the question?
Because you said when we suffer, if we suffer only, we...
I didn't say suffer only, but I said when you suffer.
Okay. Right? So what can we do?
When you suffer, when you're suffering, if you're a good devotee, it will give you more impetus to think of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you can think of Krishna without suffering, that's perfect.
How about when you are very blissful?
Then, you know, you should not think of Krishna when you are blissful.
Who is giving the blissfulness when you are so blissful?
What does Rupa Goswami say?
Yes.
Always think of Krishna. Never forget Krishna. He doesn't say when you're blissful, stop thinking. Oh, I'm blissful now. Oh, Krishna, that's enough. Okay. I say, I'm blissful now. Just stay over there for a while. No, you don't think like that. If you're blissful, you think of Krishna. If you're suffering, you think of Krishna. Everything in between, you think of Krishna. There's only Krishna. Yeah? What did Lord Chaitanya say? Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hey! Krishna, 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 hey. That's all Lord Chaitanya said. What was in between? Nothing. Yeah, it's only Krishna. So Rupa Goswami said, always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna. Okay. Krishna, 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 Krishna. That's your mantra for today, I think.
Regarding
Shudana,
when I'm actually chanting Shudana, I thought that if you actively try to avoid all your offenses.
That's called namabhas. Yeah, aparad means offenses. You're chanting, but you're committing some offense. Namabhas means we're trying to avoid the offense. That's what we're doing. It's called namabhas. Abhas means dim light. Like, you know, when the sun comes up, like this morning, 6 o'clock, it starts coming. The light starts coming. Dim light. So you're getting some premankura. Ankura means like a particle coming from the sun. Right? So something is coming. So from namabhas you start feeling blissful. You know, you feel, oh, chanting is very nice. That's not shudanam. Shudanam's like up there. Shudanam means you're chanting, but you're seeing Krishna. That's shudanam. Pure chanting. It's a higher level. But namabhas leads to that. Goes to that. So we're not near Shuddhanam at this point. You have to work a little bit. A couple of more days. What day is it? Tuesday. Say Friday. Very Saturday, see you. Any other question? Brahma, we'll take them. Send the microphone across to the west.
How the demigods are devotees, then why would sometimes Lord Brahma be not be a devotee?
Why Lord Brahma is not devotee? Sometimes. Because to take the post of Brahma, you have to be very qualified. So say some Mayavadi is working his way up through 100 lifetimes of Varnashram, and then he becomes, you know, by his piety, his punya, by his tapasya, he gets the adhikara, the qualification, to take a position, but he's not a devotee, you know. So it's not a good position for the universe, because what's coming down from him becomes Mayavad philosophy. So it's not great, but sometimes it does happen. Krishna has, even like Advaita Acharya, who is the Supreme Lord himself, some of his sons were Mayavadis. They weren't all pure devotees, you know. So even it happens in when God has children. Sometimes, you know, everyone has independence. That's the point. Does this make sense? You want to add something? Someone else question?
We have to achieve Shuddhanam in this lifetime.
You have to achieve it in this lifetime. You have to chant. You have to chant purely. Give up all your attachments. Give up all your attachments. By the time of death, even if it's at the moment of death, like Katwanga Maharaj, at the moment that you have to give up all your material attachments, that's Shuddhanam, and just go back to Krishna. You say Krishna purely, and then go back. Any other question? Yeah, question?
Just a one.
Okay. See if you can get the microphone across. Say it anyway, but...
One of the lectures, Kadambakaran Maharaj was telling, when he was building the temple, he was being attacked. That time, he came to his room, and he told the tigers to take to his room.
Start again, so they can hear.
When Kadambakaran Maharaj, when he was building the Prabhupada Samadhi, people were attacking him. That time, he told drivers, I want to go to my room to get something, because he had to leave that place. That time, he goes to the room and he sees there will be nothing except his chanting wheel. And that time he says, now I know, nothing will come with me other than the chanting. So that was his realization.
Yeah. Nice. Any other question? Okay. Shall we go by key?
Yeah.